Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
We're sure glad you stopped in to check out the history headlines today for football, because we have a great one for October 12th. We have probably the biggest trade ever in NFL history and the most decorated college football star ever on today's episode, coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the PigskinDispatch.com, and we are here to talk about football's history headlines for October 12th. And this is a big day filled with big events, and we're going to go right to October 12th, 1989, and what could be the most impactful and largest player trade in the history of the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys traded running back Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings for 5 then current players and 6 draft picks of the future. The Cowboys were winless at this point in the 1980 season after 5 games played. The franchise was somewhat of a laughingstock in the league, as their new owner and general manager Jerry Jones and rookie head coach Jimmy Johnson looked like they got into something a little bit too much for them to handle. They really looked foolish when they traded their star player, but the compensation of basically 11 players for one? That seemed like an offer too good to pass on. According to an ESPN article on the trade, the deal went something like this. The Cowboys would give the Vikings Walker their 3rd and 10th round picks in 1990, and their 3rd pick in 1991. In return, the Vikings would send linebackers Jesse Solomon, David Howard, defensive end Alex Stewart, running back Darren Nelson, and cornerback Isaac Holt to Minnesota's in the 1st, 2nd, and 6th round picks in 1990. The real craftiness started, though, when Nelson refused to report to Dallas, so he was traded to the San Diego Chargers and became 2 draft picks, a 6th rounder in 1990 and a 2nd rounder in 1991. The Cowboys selected Emmitt Smith out of Florida in the 1st round of the 1990 draft, defensive tackle Russell Maryland of Miami in the 1st round of 1991, cornerback Kevin Smith of Texas A&M in the 1st round of 1992, safety Darren Woodson of Arizona State in the 2nd round of 92, and cornerback Clayton Holmes of Carson Newman in the 3rd round of 1992. A dynasty had been born in Dallas with the jumpstart of trading one star player and the clever draft maneuvering of the Cowboys brass. The Vikings did make the playoffs in 1989 with Walker running the ball, only to get knocked out by a very good San Francisco team. And the Cowboys, well, they went to the Super Bowl many times with that cast of characters. Next, we go to October 12, 1991. Mike Lurch of Princeton ties an NCAA record with 370 receiving yards along with 4 touchdowns to lead the then unbeaten Princeton Tigers to a 59-37 victory over the winless Brown University. 370 receiving yards in one game. Wow, that is quite a game. That same day, in 1991, Doug Flutie, formerly of Boston College and now with the BC Lions, set a CFL passing record of 582 yards despite losing to the Edmonton Eskimos 45-38 in overtime. What was going on in the air in North America in 1991 on August 12th? A lot of passing, a lot of catching happened that day. And we go a year later, October 12, 1992, the Washington Redskins wideout Art Monk sets an NFL record with his 820th reception. Monk did it in grand style too, as the game was played on Monday Night Football stage. With all of the nation watching, the Redskins had their way with the opponents that night, the Denver Broncos, as they won handedly 34-3. It was a 10-yard reception from Redskin quarterback Mark Rypien in the fourth quarter when Monk passed Steve Largent for the most career receptions in NFL history. Monk finished the game with 7 receptions for 69 yards. For his career, Monk totaled 840 catches, 788, which came in his 14 seasons as a Washington Redskin. October 12th, the year 2019, the University of South Carolina knocked off the third-ranked University of Georgia by a score of 20-17. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now let's blow out the candles and have some cake, because we're going to celebrate some birthdays of Hall of Famers right now for October 12th. And we'll start off October 12th, 1878, with Truxton Hare, a guard from the University of Pennsylvania. Hare played on the Penn Quakers football team from 1897 through 1900 and was the first of 4 players to have been a 4-year All-American per PennAthletics.com. Even more amazing, that Hare played every minute of all 54 games in which he competed, as the rules of his playing era said that a player could not return into the game after being substituted. Truxton was a big dude when he played too, as he stood for 6'2" and weighed 208 pounds for that day. Truxton was quite an accomplished athlete even without football. According to the Olympic.org website, Hare won a silver medal in the 1900 Olympic Games in Paris for the hammer throw competition and a bronze medal in the 1904 Olympics played in St. Louis. Truxton Hare was selected to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. Rip through those calendar pages and we'll go to October 12th, 1921, South Bend, Indiana. Les Horvath was born. Don't let his birthplace fool you into thinking Les was with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. No, he was not. It might get a little bit clearer when you find out that after his family moved, he spent most of his childhood in Parma, Ohio. Les attended and played for Ohio State University as a halfback and quarterback. He earned a football letters in 1940, 41, 42, and 1944. He wasn't eligible to play football in 1943 as he attended dental school that year. The 1944 season, though, was special as eligibility-wise for Horvath, as most players of that era only played 3 seasons of eligibility, but the NCAA granted an extra season to athletes due to World War II and a lack of athletes in college. OSU head coach Carol Widows asked Horvath to return to the team for the 4th year, and due to the demands of dental school, Horvath was initially reluctant to play but agreed to do so after Widows promised Horvath that he would be flown to all the games and wouldn't have to practice as much as the other players. Ohio State went a perfect 9-0, won the Big Ten, and ranked number 2 nationally. Horvath rushed for 905 yards and passed for 345, and he ranked 2nd in the nation in rushing, 3rd in total offense, and was the unanimous All-American and most valuable player in the Big Ten, and he won the Heisman Trophy. Yes, Les was the very first Buckeye to ever win the Heisman Trophy in 1944, as according to the Heisman.com website. The National Football Foundation invited Les Horvath into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1969. Les graduated dental school in 1947, and then the NFL came calling as he was drafted by the LA Rams and played there and with the Cleveland Browns before hanging up his helmet to practice dentistry in the LA area. Next, we'll go to October 12th, 1970, as we'll start off in Thomasville, Georgia, where Charlie Ward, the quarterback from Florida State, was born. Charlie may be the most decorated college quarterback of all time, according to Heisman.com, as he won every award he was eligible for in the 1993 season. For starters, he won the Heisman Trophy, and he led his Florida State Seminoles to the national championship title. Ward also was named the Walter Camp Player of the Year and the Toyota Leader of the Year. Charlie Ward filled his trophy case even more by taking home the Davey O'Brien and the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Awards, and was the second college football player ever to win the Sullivan Award, given annually to the nation's top amateur athlete. His 1993 numbers were off the charts, completing 69.5% of all his passes for over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns with only 4 interceptions. Football was not where it stopped, though, as the super athlete also guided the FSU basketball teams to 3 NCAA tournaments, and Charlie became the first ever Heisman winner to play in the NBA. Ward ended up staying in the NBA for 12 seasons and never put on an NFL uniform. Charlie Ward entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2006. Well, we hope you learned something and that you enjoyed this podcast of the Pigskin Dispatch Daily History. And if you did, please drop us a line and email at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Also, you can visit us at pigskindispatch.com or go to the Sports History Network and catch all our podcasts or any of your podcast providers you have. So till next time, everybody, have a great football day.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away 2 copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sturneman collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you will enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!